The Wall Street Journal reports Israel is now pumping seawater into underground tunnels in Gaza. It's part of its campaign against Hamas. Nancy Youssef is reporting on this. She's national security correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, and she's with us now. Hi, Nancy.
Thanks for having me.
So why flood the tunnels in Gaza with seawater? What does the Israeli military think that will accomplish?
So remember that there are hundreds of miles of tunnels under Gaza. It's where the Israelis believe Hamas might be hiding hostages. It's where they think that some of their key leadership might be. For the Israelis, they believe that destroying or eliminating the tunnels really takes away a key operating space, a hiding space for Hamas, not only throughout this operation, but going forward. The challenge is how you go out destroying such a vast network in a way that minimizes the risk to troops. And so one of the things that they're looking at is using the nearby seawater from the Mediterranean to flood those tunnels.
Yeah, and we've read about how extensive this tunnel network is. You know, as far as the underground part of this war, from Israel's perspective, is that one of the harder parts here? I mean, we read mostly about what's happening above ground.
That's right. I mean, it's such a visual war above ground, and yet it's very furtive underground, isn't it? We don't sort of have a sense of it. We've seen little glimpses of doors leading into tunnels. We've heard from hostages who have been released about the network and living in those tunnels, but we don't have a clear sense of it. And yet it's believed to be really instrumental to Hamas and how it is conducting this war and how it's protecting its leadership. And for the Israelis, I think that part of Gaza is as important to containing Hamas as the infrastructure above ground. And so that's why we've seen the focus. But again, these are very challenging areas to try to destroy. So I think while the idea of using floodwater was appealing earlier on, as they've started using this, what they've discovered is that it has a number of logistical challenges in terms of being this sort of effective cure-all for the tunnels. And so what we're seeing now is the floodwater is maybe one tool rather than sort of the key tool that I think some had hoped a few weeks earlier.
Yeah. And practically speaking, the Israeli military knows how to do this, how to extract the water, pump it into these tunnels. How hard is that?
Well, the Egyptians did it in 2015 and faced some challenges, but and also some criticism because of the damage that it does to freshwater nearby. What the Israelis have done is they've put in these pumps that are on the shore. They can pump several thousand cubic meters an hour of water. And then the idea is that this is not something that kind of happens quickly, that over a matter of weeks you would flood the waters. And so the idea would be to essentially push people out up into the surface. What we've discovered is that the challenges, there are trap doors, there are blast doors, there are all these sort of structural parts of the tunnels that make it such that the water doesn't just move freely through the tunnels. Oh. And then there's the ethical question of, could you, in doing so, damage Gaza's already tenuous freshwater supply system? And so I think what we're seeing and what we have seen over the past few weeks is that they are discovering some of the practical challenges and have faced some criticism over some of the ethical challenges of doing this.
And are there also civilians underground in these tunnels?
It's hard to know. You imagine that there's some civilians, but I couldn't tell you how many, how they've gotten there, what they're doing. But while it's a vast network, I don't think it's one that is as widely accessible.
Inside Israel, there is pushback on this plan by families of hostages held in Gaza. What do we know about that dispute?
Well, there was a really interesting conversation, leaked conversation between Prime Minister Netanyahu and some of the hostages who were released and their families. And they were really emotional in describing the prospect of flooding these tunnels because their loved ones are still there. They lived in those tunnels and they understand that if flooding starts, there's the potential that their loved one could be killed because if you're Hamas, there's a potential that they don't move out of those tunnels but leave them to die there. I think that was the fear that we heard.
More broadly, Nancy, how much progress has Israel made or not made in actually attacking, undermining Hamas?
I'm talking to you from Washington. I'll tell you sort of what we hear from U.S. officials. Tactically, the bombings that we've seen have really done damage to large parts of the infrastructure in Gaza. Half of the buildings in northern Gaza, for example, destroyed or damaged. But in terms of strategy, it's not clear how much these strikes have done long-term damage to Hamas. We haven't seen, for example, the killer capture of the top leader, Sinwar, Yahya Sinwar. The Israelis have said that they've killed roughly 5,000 members of Hamas. We haven't seen the U.S. independently verify that number. It's hard to put a sort of definitive answer qualifier in terms of how much those bombings have done damage to Hamas. I think it's not just about sort of how many leaders they've killed, but how much are these bombings stopping the long-term potential resurgence of a Hamas or a group like it, inspired by it, one that follows it.
Nancy Youssef is national security correspondent at The Wall Street Journal. Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.